When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 368 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another Wednesday. The weekend's right around the corner, folks. March Madness is in the air. Yes, my favorite time of year for betting anyway. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I know it's a hockey podcast, but we'll talk about a madness here in a second. But we've got to start the show on a sad note. The news broke today that Chris Simon passed away. And so sad. 52 years old. My phone was kind of blown up this afternoon. I was at work. I when everybody was asking what happened, I'm like, I don't know anything about this. And, sent a few, texts out to a couple guys, like, did you hear anything about this? Like, it's, you know, and, unfortunately it was confirmed later in the day. And, always sad, when that route is chosen. Not much to say. Chris Simon, the big man, he drafted 25th overall by Philly back in 1990. Of course, he was part of the Lindros trade. Just looking at his stats here before I went on the air. Yeah, 782 career regular season games. He had 144 goals, 161 assists for 305 points, 1,824 penalty minutes, and then in 75 playoff games, he had 10 goals, 7 assists, 191 minutes. Of course, he won the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche. Those years there in Colorado when he really got humming, and then over to Washington those early years, what a force. The long hair, looked like the Undertaker, and just a premier enforcer. And unfortunately, battled a lot of shoulder injuries, which really kind of hampered his fighting, but later on in his career. But left-handed, big, and when he was on his game and healthy, boy, what was the one year with the Avalanche? 29 goals, and yeah, unbelievable. Just a real force and huge dude, you know. And one of the game's true, you know, hit, obviously it wasn't just a couple shift guy. He was, not only a premier enforcer, but, had talent and could definitely do things with the puck. And, what do you say at this point? And I'm not going to speculate on why or anything like that. That's not, it's not the time or the place. Of course online we'll be buzzing, and I'm sure the folks will come out with their agendas and everything. I'm sure in the next couple of days it's going to be, all over the place, but, unfortunately we'll never really know. And, his life after hockey has been out there online, and it's You know, and he has talked publicly about the issues, and you know, yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, you know, at that age, and you know, to make that decision to do that is, you know, it's just sad when people get to that point when they have, when they feel there's no return, and yeah, rest in peace, Chris Simon. And, yeah, I, you know, thoughts go out to his friends and family. I know, you know, talked to a few guys that know him today and, you know, and I know they're feeling it and, you know, positive thoughts go out to them and, you know, yeah, I mean, what do you say? It, just sad. And, like I said, to lose another guy and, you know, like I said, at 52 years old, it, you know, when I always get kids and everything and, it's, yeah, it's just sad. And, yeah. Rest in peace, Chris Simon. well, like I said at the top of the show, member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 100 shows in the network. I am on the original content creator side myself, Joe Lazito. And, but like I said, my rhythm's been thrown off here. I used to have the shtick where I could, you know, I fall into the pattern, but Alec has retired. The Five for Fighting podcast is no more. Jordan at five in a game. I'm not sure what's going on there. So it's myself, Terry Ryan, and Joe right now, and you know, we'll go from there. Like I said, it's for the Three Stooges, but you know, we'll, that's where we're at with the network right now. That's, yeah, I'll tell you. You talk about, you know, falling ratings. Oof. But if you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would be, but if you're on social media, give me a follow. I'm the Fourth Line Voice at Twitter as well as on Facebook. My DMs are open if you want to send that hate mail. I mean, you know, but I haven't heard back from my, I haven't heard about my kickboxing match that I'm supposedly getting into down south of the border. So we'll see. I don't know. Should I get into training for that? Oh, best of the best. But yes, on Twitter as well as on Facebook. If you happen to be on the YouTubes, check out the Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have over 2,500 fights on there. All the leagues, check it out. Subscribe to the channel. If you're watching a fight video that you enjoy, hit the thumbs up. I know it sounds so. Hit the like button. Smash the subscribe button. Oh, God. But it does help in the algorithms and all that stuff. You know, when you're watching a YouTube video on the right, it says related videos. That's how you get into the related videos, by folks liking and subscribing to your channel. So if you could do that, plus whatever platform you're listening to this to, on iTunes or Spotify, could you rate and maybe leave a review of the show or just rate it with the star rating? Again, that helps out in the algorithms and all that stuff. And thank you to Kevin in Niagara. Thank you for the review, sir. I appreciate it. Can you believe he put that? He listens every day. Kevin, that's not good. that's not good that you have my voice in your head every day. Sir, you need to... I'm not trying to encourage people to shut my show off, but Kevin, I don't want my voice in your head every day. That's not a good thing. But... No, and also thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time to rate the show and leave a review. And thank you, sir. And yes, so if the rest of you could be as proactive as Kevin, we'd be a lot better off. Leave your reviews. And thank you. But all right, folks. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we had a little heavyweight tiff tonight, folks. Oh, and of course the controversy. It's Reeves and Delorier, and we got to hear all about, you know, everyone's just dying to give Reeves DL, you know, as always, which led me to, You know, because Reeves takes so much shit online. It's like, well, let's talk about what kind of list can we do? And it was funny. I got asked a little while ago, because I was talking about the old Facebook message, or not, pardon me, the old fried chicken message boards and the hockeyfights.com message boards before they messed the site up and all that. The good old days of the early internets and the interwebs when all of us nerds would sit there in front of the computer and we couldn't believe there were other nerds that liked hockey fights too, and we'd all yell at each other online. They said, who were the real hated guys back then in the early fight sites? And I said, well, it's pretty similar to today, really. It's funny how the hate lingers with certain guys, even in today's Facebook groups. But I will throw about five or six names at you from what I can remember back in the day. But I also found a list. I went through my list and dug it up. It's the top 10 dirtiest current players in the NHL. Because, of course, I get told that I'm out of touch and I don't talk. What was it? I talk about old things that no one cares about. And if I talked about more current things, I'd get more popular. So this is my bid at getting more popular. I'm going to talk about today's dirtiest players. I guess I don't know what the list is. I haven't looked at it, but that's what the list title is. So we'll, like I always say, I don't look at the list ahead of time. I'll discover them with you guys. So we're going to do that as well. I can't wait for today's. It's going to be a bunch of players I've probably never heard of. I'm not going to do it today, but Jukka in Finland. I hope everything's going well for you, sir. I know. There's a lot of problems over there. The Russian thing and all the war going on, and it's really affecting life over there. So I hope you're doing well and hanging in there. But Jukka and I go back and forth on in DMs, and he had sent me an article, and he gave me the heads up about a young man playing for the Brandon Wheat Kings. And he's like, I know you don't watch current hockey anymore, but I'm just going to put this guy on your radar. And I had heard of him because in the WHL Talk Facebook groups, there's a bunch of people whining about him. So I'm like, well, if they're whining about him, that probably means I'm going to like him. So Jukka has sent me video of this guy. And he's an old SJHL guy too. So, you know, I got the soft spot for the Junior A boys. So he already got my attention there. And especially the SJHL, the old Saskatchewan League. And then he went on and played in the Western League, and he's an old school throwback guy. And, you know, and, I'll get into that on the weekend. I'm going to go through his videos later this week, go through the articles. I'm going to get a little bio up about this guy. He's going to be my player spotlight this Sunday. And, I'm going to introduce you guys because we're always talking about, you know, the future of fighting and everything else, but. You know, so I'm going to put this guy on your guys' radar out there. You know, an up and comer, 20 years old. No, he's 19. Pardon me, 19 years old, and out of the Western Hockey League. And I will throw that at you on Sunday. But Jukka, thank you. I did get the emails, and I will comprise the articles and see what I can dig up. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. Future episodes, there's a teaser for the weekend. But, folks, I know this is hockey podcast, whatever. I don't give a shit, it's my show. I am so pumped for March Madness. I love March Madness. I love college basketball. I love betting on it. I guess I should have led with that. I love betting on it. You know, of course, millions of people fill out brackets and everything else, and no different here. We have an office pool, of course. My wife gets involved. It's the only time basically she'll watch. Well, that's not true. We'll watch Blue Jay games while we're eating supper. But other than that, the only other sporting event that she'll pay any attention to is March Madness, and she fills out a bracket and everything. And we enjoy doing that for the week. And you know, because your bracket's usually wrecked by the second weekend, and at that point, she loses interest. But I'll be betting on it, and it's going to be. Man, the seeding this year was a little crazy. I don't know. I think I still got UConn winning it, I think. But could be a few. There's always some upsets. Where are the upsets going to be? I mean, Samford at Kansas, I mean, that might be one to look into. A lot of people are talking about McNeese upsetting Gonzaga. Maybe. I know James Madison's a sexy upset pick, too. So there's a few long shots for you guys out there. You know, and I think there's some big numbers, though, that I think the underdogs can at least cover the number. They're not going to, I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll definitely cover the number. Anyway, people are like, get on with the hockey. Oh, yes. But hey, it's, like I said, March Madness. But speaking of, and I know I've brought it up a million times, and I get asked about it a lot lately, you know, the bracket. Speaking of brackets, when are you doing your tournaments? I know. The Bob Probert Invitational is long overdue, as well as Minor League Mayhem. The Minor League Tournament, I think, I like the Minor League Tournament better than the Bob Probert Tournament. The Minor League Tournament I'm going to save for a future upcoming podcast. I think if the three of us, like I said, if we get our podcast going, and Jay and Alec are such big minor league guys, I want to save the Minor League Mayhem tournament for that, because I'd like to do the, because I was going to have him on to do the breakdown anyway, so I'd rather just do it on that podcast. The Bob Probert tournament, that's the problem. Twitter's so dead that it's just like, to put it on Twitter seems like such a waste of time. The last time I put it on there last year, stuff was getting like 102 votes. And I'm like, and this is bad. I'm used to getting 400 or 500 votes back in the day. And it was like, so that was a little disheartening. So I was just kind of, you know. I think it would probably be better off on Facebook. But when I go to my Facebook page, I can't do voting polls on my page. I wish I could, I would have done this a while ago. So I'm probably going to do the tournament in the fight group, in the hockey fights and brawls page. That would probably make the most sense, because I think there's, I don't know, what is there, 70,000 members? Now, obviously not 70,000 active members, but there are quite a few members, and I think a lot of guys lurk. They might not post a lot, but they lurk. But I mean, if it's I think voting polls, I think would get a fair number of votes. So, I think that's probably what I'm going to do. So I think probably either I will probably not this. We might be going out of town for Easter holidays, but I'm going to try maybe next week. I'm going to set up the bracket and we'll go from there. But yes, the Bob Probert Invitational Tournament is coming. And yeah, so for those asking, yes, I am going to do it again. I know I keep saying that, but no, I will do that. Okay. Well, in saying all that, my gambling and everything else, I mean, obviously DraftKings is a major sponsor of this network. So I'm gonna hit you with my DraftKings ad. Hey, it's a good time to sign up, boy. You get a free, you know, $125 bonus and everything, THPN, and throw that money at the old March Madness bracket. That's not a bad little deal, man, when you sign up. So something I would look into if you do not have a DraftKings account. And by using the promo code THPN, you definitely help out not only myself but the entire network. So, you know, hey folks, I know people I've gotten shit over the advertising, but it's like, dude, you watch your TV shows, you watch YouTube videos, everything's got ads, man. You gotta pay for this somehow. I mean, we get paid. This is how we get paid. And, you know, so if, you know, is a minute and a half advertisement really that bad? I mean, come on. So work with me here, folks. Help me out. You know, but, anyway. We'll do some sponsors here, and then we'll get into today's show.
And now here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket. +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay. Oh, it's funny. I was going to mention a couple days ago, I had put up a video, a fight video of Tony Twist and Scott Daniels back from the old Western League days. Twist with the Blades and Scott Daniels with New West. And somebody's like, oh, look how skinny Twist is. It's before all the roids. It's like he put on at least 50 pounds since then. It's like, yeah, well, he was also 18 in this video, like, you know, so we're going to compare body size when he was 28 to when he was 18. Okay. It's funny. My point being is, it's funny how some guys just kind of get, just shit on, or there's always, you know, there seems to be like no in between. It's either kind of a love or hate. He's all right. And some guys are just so polarizing, and it's just like, as soon as you say Twist, it's all steroids. Like he was the only one. And it's like, yeah, but I don't remember ever, like, did he ever test positive? Did anybody, you know, like, it's just, oh, he was on him. How do you know? Oh, you could tell. Oh, okay. You know, it's just, you know, you mean an elite level athlete that works out all the time? You know, oh, there's no way they could be big. Like, you know, was he that big? Like, was he, you know, probably. But, I mean, I can guarantee he wasn't the only one. And, you know, but it's just funny. There's just certain guys, like you say their name and it's like something gets attached to them in the fight community. And, you know, I'll get into that in a bit, but yeah, it just struck me funny with Twist. It's like, as soon as you mention Twist, it's always, oh, Roy boy and all this. But it was funny. Yeah. Like I said, I put up his video the other night and it's like, oh, you're sure smaller here. Well, yeah, he was a teenager. So, you know, I mean, you guys love to throw around, he's just a kid, you know, it's like, well, hey, well, he's 18 in the video. So, you know, okay. But, anyway, what is this list that we speak of? Yes, it's the top 10 dirtiest NHL players. It was written October 14th, 2023, by the hockey writers, Eugene Helfrich. Hockey is played hard and fast. Athletes will hook, trip, face wash, and pester to gain a winning edge. Like all sports, hockey has official rules and unwritten rules. It also has a code of respect. Oh, here we go. And there are many players that blur the lines between the two or cross them entirely, and they can be downright dirty. Oh, boy. What a build. These dirty on sports like, and sometimes dishonorable players take every liberty they can to vulnerable players. They're seemingly incapable of delivering clean body checks on a regular basis. They take cheap shots, run smaller players, and blindside unsuspecting peers, igniting an intense and passionate hatred. In short, they have earned their spot on our list as the most hated players in the NHL. Oh, yeah, they run the smaller players. Oh, God forbid you hit a smaller player. Oh, yeah. Now, to get on this list, it's not about being hated, but despised. It's more than the Flyer fans just hating Sidney Crosby of the Penguins. These are players that are despised for the way they play the game, as it's often reckless and can cause long-term injury for what should be nothing plays. Okay. Dirty players, the dishonorable mentions. Unfortunately, there are more than 10 dirty players worthy of this list. Here are a few that are notable but did not crack the top 10. Nikita Kucherov, arguably one of the best players in the league when he's playing a focused game on the ice. He will always find ways to generate offense, whether he's dishing out a pass or snapping a perfect shot on goal. If you only see his highlight reel plays, however, you will miss another aspect of his game. Despite being a star, Kucherov can be also described as a greasy player, especially when he lets his emotions get the best of him. Famously, he was suspended for Game 3 in the first round of the 2019 playoffs Stanley Cup when he boarded Marcus Nudavara, which is something you wouldn't expect from a player who posted 128 points en route to winning the Hart Trophy that same season. He's also known to deliver some dirty slashes behind the player or on breakaways that are simply inexcusable in the league. Ryan Reeves, the Toronto Maple Leafs. For many years, Ryan Reeves is known as a ridiculous top fourth liner who would rack up penalty minutes and lay down hundreds of hits each season. He was hated by many, but didn't regularly cross the line. After joining the Golden Knights in 2018, however, Reeves' reputation started to shift. No longer was he a player who just played a physical brand of hockey, but he started to find himself in the press for negative reasons, late hits to the head, and just flat-out dirty play that left numerous players on the ice in serious, dangerous conditions. All you have to do is look up the 21-20 playoffs when Reeves battered against him. He laid down a dangerous hit on former Wild defenseman Ryan Suter that left him face down on the ice after hitting his head on the net, and then followed up by a retaliatory hit on defenseman Ryan Graves, which ended with him pulling a chunk of hair out of his head. To put it simply, this sort of play has no place in the league. It's a fine line between a tough player who will stick up for teammates and someone who is making plays with the intent to injure. Lately, Reeves has fallen on the wrong side of that line. I don't know what the fuck this guy's talking about. Reeves, dirty? Well, the hair thing was, yeah, he didn't do it on purpose. And the Suter, I wouldn't call Ryan Reeves dirty. Kucherov, I can't speak to because I don't pay any attention to Nikita Kucherov, but Ryan, I've never looked at Reeves as being a dirty player. Okay, whatever. Here's one. Alexander Ovechkin. I will agree with that. Being one of the league's most talented players doesn't give you a free pass. Well, yes, it does. Apparently, Ovechkin arguably the greatest goal scorer in NHL. Obviously, he's been a player with dirty tendencies in the past, delivers hard hit, but regularly takes them too far, leading to blindside, knee on knee, and hits from behind that have led to some to dub him a cheap shot artist. The elite Russian talent has been ejected for boarding majors and kneeing. He's been suspended multiple times in his career. Notorious offense, cheap shot in 2010 when with defenseless Brian Campbell crashed into the boards, leaving him with a broken collarbone. Also suspended 3 games by player safety for charging Penguins Mikhailuk and starting a controversy when he speared. When he spared Trent Frederick in the groin. Oh, yeah, don't bring that up on TikTok, though. Oh, you get all the crybabies getting a hold of you. No, I've often said Ovechkin's dirty as shit. And the thing that bugs me is he never answers for it. With his 2 career fights. And I have to hear about how tough he is, what a power forward he is. No, he's gutless. And, great player. One of the greatest goal scorers of all time and blah, 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 all that stuff. No one's disputing that. But he's a chicken shit. He runs guys and runs away when he's challenged. And of course, why should he have to fight? Well, because you're throwing hits from behind, you're kneeing people, getting suspended, and he's done a ton of dirty shit and never has to answer for it. That's my problem with Ovechkin. It's like, well, Crosby and all the talent, they don't have to fight. Yeah, well, because they aren't hitting people from behind and shit. And Crosby has fought. I think he's got 9 or 10 career fights. I know he's got about 5 or 6 times more fights than Ovechkin has. Well, Gretzky has more fighting majors than Ovechkin has. So, for all his... he's a star player. He shouldn't have to fight. Austin Matthews says that. Well, Austin Matthews isn't doing the shit Ovechkin does. He isn't running people and shit. So, no, it's completely different. And I will maintain Ovechkin is gutless. and he's a chicken shit. But he is a great player, obviously. And for physical, and for him playing as long as he has, for as physical as he plays and not getting hurt. And I mean, he's hurt lots of guys, but he doesn't get hurt playing that way, which is surprising, you know. But big dude can hit and everything else. And it's like, you know, and again, it's like, I don't have a problem with the physical play. That's great that a talented player like that is physical like that. I mean, that's awesome. But yeah, he's dirty as shit. And like I said, he doesn't answer for it. That's my problem with it. That's my problem with Ovechkin. But again, the other problem I have is with all the fanboys that tell me he doesn't need to and blah, blah, blah. And he's a power forward. I love that one. They call him a power forward. It's like, okay. Clearly, today's version of power forward isn't the same as the version of the 90s power forward that I grew up with. Clearly not. But anyway, let's move on. Brendan Lemieux, it's true, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Santa Claude, Lemieux, no stranger, blurring the line. 27-20-2018 with the Moose, Winnipeg AHL affiliate. He had 170 minutes, 51 games. Headhunting plays, suspended several times in the OHL while playing for the Barry Colts. In the NHL, he's been suspended two times in the legal check. And as a fan of sitting in the penalty box, throughout his 275 games in the NHL, 484 minutes, making a name for the fifth most penalized player since entering the league. And of course, he's now famous biting incident. Someone who already has the record of biting a fellow player not only multiple times, but hard enough to draw significant blood crosses the line of the thresholds in a violent sport. Honestly, Lemieux should be higher on the list, but he simply hasn't played enough in the NHL right now to get into trouble. This is a relief, of course, because he hasn't shown that he won't injure players when he's on the ice, whether intentionally or not. I've never paid much attention to Brendan Lemieux. I mean, I know who he is, but yeah, I don't know about biting guys. Was it Marchand that he bit? Didn't the guy have his fingers in his mouth? I don't know. Whatever. I won't comment on it. But yeah, if he's like anything like his old man, well, there you go. Okay, here we go. The top 10 dirtiest players in the NHL today. Well, this article was written at the beginning of the season, so it is current. Current for this year, I guess. Number 10, Corey Perry of the Blackhawks. Well, he was. Playing against Corey Perry is like being a mole in a whack-a-mole arcade game. A 2001 first-round pick. Pinched for some nasty stick work hacking, whacking opponents whenever he can. Flip side to this, Perry is once a highly skilled offensive-minded power forward. Who could come up with a big key moment in the Ducks and the Stars, and most recently Montreal. He's had success on every stage in his career, including a Stanley Cup, Memorial Cup, OHL champ, Olympics, World Cup, World Junior. Yeah, holy shit. Even in his advancing years, Perry is still known as a player that you never want to face the playoff series, as he will at some point be in the middle of a controversial hit or dirty play that will lead you pleading your case to the refs for a call. Corey Perry's a prick. Again, power forward. How many fights does Corey Perry have? Hold on. I'm gonna pause this. I'm gonna go. Well, here, talk amongst yourselves. I'm gonna open the next window here. I'm gonna do a quick search of Corey Perry. I'm trying to type in the dark here. Oh, for God's sake. Corey Perry fight card. There we go. What do we got here? I guess 1-4-1. Well, 2-3. Well, he had one season. He had five fights in the postseason. 2004-05. Oh, this is the OHL. Okay. Four fights. One fight. Two. So I guess he has. You know, he probably has about. I'm not going to count them all up, but we're probably looking at about 30 fights. Okay. Well, there you go. Now, yeah, I don't think I would classify him as a power forward, but he has fought, so. But he's had a hell of a career. Played a long time. Apparently doing well with the Oilers, I think. I don't know, I guess. But, yeah, he definitely has a punchable face, without a doubt. Number 9, Radko Gudas. Born in Czech Republic. Gudas was drafted in the third round, 2010 by the Lightning. Few years of the franchise, acquired by the Flyers, joined the Capitals briefly, signed a 3-year deal with Florida, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, throughout his career, Gudas is known as a player who was always on the borderline of legal. He's been suspended several times with controversial slashes and many more hits to his name that brought the ire of the NHL, earning fines and the reputation of a dirty player. His now infamous celebration in front of Joseph Wall after clinching Game 5 is a perfect example of the kind of irritating player he can be, even when he's not laying out opponents. In recent years, he's vowed to clean up his game. First part, he hasn't earned a suspension since 2019, however, that doesn't excuse his backlog of dirty plays that drew some of the largest suspensions in recent memory. Play like that isn't forgotten easily, and he still proves that he's known where the border between clean and dirty lies each season. I guess I'll put it this way when I was doing this list. I didn't actually think that far ahead. I was just like, well, I need content, and somebody sent me this list, and of course the hate mail there was laughing that I don't do enough current stuff. Well, the problem is with doing the current stuff is I can't give you examples for the most part because I don't watch this shit. So, I mean, again, I know Gudas, he can't fight worth a shit, and is but he's a bigger dude, and he hits guys and everything else, but yeah, I'm kind of blowing the spot here. I'm really not too, yeah, what can I tell you? I guess I'll leave it up to you, the listeners, to just listen to the list and you come up with your own list. But, I guess I'm not offering too much in the way of, fun facts by throwing it. It's not, if it's an older list, obviously I can contribute a little more. Maybe I should have thought this through a little bit here, but, nine, Nazem Kadri, no stranger after controversy, steamrolled a goaltender Backstrom with a nasty elbow. He'll go ahead and land a dirty knee and take out opponents' knees. Careless elbows and aggressive plays earned him a steady growing trend of penalty minutes and poorly timed suspensions. Barbaric hit on Tommy Wiggles in April 12, 2018, at a lengthy rap sheet that grows longer every year. It's the type of hit that could have ended a career and created serious damage. He hasn't learned his lesson either, as he laid out similar dangerous hits. Jake DeBrusque in 2019 that earned him a 3-game suspension and another 8 games after delivering a legal check to the head of Justin Falk in the postseason. There's no doubt Kadri's incredibly talented forward, but if you can't control your play on the ice, it doesn't matter. He's often on the wrong side of a tough physical game. And he cannot get that under control. He will continue to limit his potential. I will say with Kadri, yeah, that is definitely some poor timing on his hits. For the most part, I always say with the hitting on here, I mean, I've kind of ranted and raved about some of the hits and the suspensions. I'm obviously, I'm old school. Yeah, no shit. You know, so for me, when people claim things are like, things get, oh, it's dirty and they clutch their pearls and everybody, oh, he's a goon, they're all up in the air. And I'm watching it like, eh, you know, like, I guess, not really. For the most part with Kadri, that's kind of probably my reaction to a lot of his stuff's been. It's like, I guess. I know the playoff one was kind of, I guess at that point, it's always hard. I mean, it's always easy to sit on the couch and say, why would you do that? There's a few times though with some of these hits, especially when it's in the playoffs and stuff. I mean, I know it's the playoffs and things kind of go, you know, things obviously get, the rules get laxed a little bit. But yeah, it's just, there's every once in a while these guys do throw these hits and it's almost like, what are you thinking, man? You know, especially in a playoff game. But yeah, Kadri's a great talent, physical guy. You know, he's one of the few guys that, like, you know, he'll run around and he'll hit and stuff. But it's like, you know, nowadays that's kind of like, that sounds so funny to say, it's almost like a rare thing. But yeah, there you go. Kadri, number 8. Number 7, Malkin. Oh, a common theme on this list of dirty players among the top stars of the game. Such would be Evgeny Malkin, who has been a superstar with the Penguins for close to 20 years now. He also has a reputation with the dirtier players. Recent years, he's 2 suspensions, one including a 2019 high stick for 4 games, an ugly cross-check to Borowicki. That was a bit of a history of being loose with a stick. He'll take some nasty slashes, hacks, and cross-checks. His opponent has also more than a few questionable hits under his belt, more often not overlooked because he's such a prolific scorer. Honestly, I even questioned putting him on the list before members of the other members of the hockey writers were there to remind me of his past transgressions. The Penguins struggle again, and it won't be a shock to hear Malkin cross the line while taking out some frustrations on his opponent. Yeah, Malkin's a big dude, too. I know Malkin's done some greasy shit, for sure. But again, it's one of those things, and like it's brought up on, in the article here, you know, with Kadri and like Lemieux and stuff, like, and Corey, even Corey Perry, I hesitate to call them like super, they're not in the same category as a Malkin or an Ovechkin. And I think with those guys, it often gets, it's like anything. It's like the star players definitely, again, it gets overlooked, and it's almost like, it's one of those things. It's like if a third or fourth line guy does it, they're dirty. If a star player does it, they're just aggressive, and they're, oh, they just like to compete. They're just competitive. That's all, you know. So, yeah, there's yeah. Number six, Matthew Tkachuk, was picked where his dad left off, being as tough as nails power forward who pushes the game to its absolute limit. After entering the league, he's earned his reputation as one of those players who tries to straddle the line between gritty and dirty. Doesn't always get it right. He's been it three times, earned his reputation as a dirty player. He has learned to control his physical game and avoided making those suspension-worthy hits in recent years. He still managed to draw negative attention to himself. Involved in an incident with Toronto Maple Leafs starting goaltender Jack Campbell earlier in the season, which could take as long as the league. Expect controversy to follow. Oh, as said best by Doherty, I'm pretty sure he might be the most hated player in the NHL, the Kings defenseman said in a one-on-one interview. I've had lots of friends on other teams, and they don't love him either. Well, yeah, coming from Drew Doherty, that's pretty funny. Pot kettle. Yeah, I mean, Tkachuk, whatever. You know, he had a bit of a rivalry there, obviously, with Cassian back when he was at Battle of Alberta. Kid's a solid player. Same with his brother. I mean, what can you say? I mean, they fight. I mean, you know, I think Brady fights a little more. They're not great fighters by any means, but they'll do it. Just like their dad. I mean, their dad would fight. He wasn't the greatest fighter, but he'd get in there. Their dad was a great player. You know, this list, I'm not the best guy to comment on this list because I don't follow it. I know he's been involved in things that I've watched, and he's got the ratish quality to him, you know, a bit of a rat. What can I say? I guess that's this is current hockey's view of a power forward. So, I have no feeling either way on them. But they are solid players without a doubt. I'm not, you know, number five, Jacob Trouba, suspension not the only sign of a player who skirts the line between clean and dirty hits. The newly anointed captain of the Rangers, Trouba often sits on that line, but has managed to avoid crossing over and gaining the ire of league officials. Trouba is a focal point of controversy. Hit Carrari, causing a forward to leave on the ice at a stretcher, following throughout the postseason, where he has tendency to put down hits that forced players to leave the ice. And some saw the hits as good old-fashioned hockey, while others saw them as dangerous plays that targeted vulnerable players. I have no problem with Trouba's hits. I mean, it's very Scott Stevens-esque. I think probably the only people crying about it are people, the fans of the other team. On my social media, if he throws a big hit, it's all over my social media, so I see it. And he'll fight now and again when he has to. I don't know. I don't mind Jacob Trouba. He's fine. It's funny with this list. It's like, okay, often sits in the line but has managed to avoid crossing over it. Okay, well then, but this whole list is about, the top 10 dirtiest players. Well, if he hasn't crossed the line, that doesn't, he's not really dirty then. So essentially, it's like the Scott Stevens argument. Oh, he was dirty. Well, what was he suspended for? Well, just this hit. Well, so basically you don't like him because he hits too hard. Well, that doesn't make you dirty. Well, he's hitting to hurt people. Well, yeah. I mean, I hate to sound like a dick, but isn't that the point? You know, again, now, I'm not saying in a rec league game or in Saskatoon, in the Saskatchewan Senior League, I don't think we need to go Stevens on Korea on anybody. You know, guys got to work in the morning, but when they're paying you $8 million, $10 million a year to win a Stanley Cup and bring home championships, it's like, you're going to fucking go through a motherfucker to do it. Or you should. That should be your mindset. I would think as a fan of whatever, regardless of what team you're a fan of, I would think you'd want your players to play like that and have that mindset that they will go through a wall or put someone through a wall to get to their goal. So, okay, again, I don't see what the issue is. Now, again, I'm not saying, oh, let's run and throw our elbows up and everything else, but it's like, well, he goes after vulnerable players. Well, like, everything's moving so fast. You're out there trying to hit, play physical, send a message, etc. Well, it's like, oh, well, he didn't need to. He should have pulled up. Oh, well, you're not thinking that. Like, you're just thinking about, I'm going to hit somebody here. And it's like the old Stevens on Lindros. Well, he put him in a vulnerable position. Well, no, Lindros put himself in that position by trying to get the puck across and leaning down to, he was trying to make a play. Well, he come across the middle and Stevens is coming across. Well, he shouldn't have. Well, what's he supposed to do? Let Lindros make the pass over to LeClaire and then, you know, like, is that what he's supposed to, like, what are we doing here? Like, what do you want him to do? And it's the same, you know, and it's the same thing with Trouba. Oh, he's on the, he hasn't crossed the line yet, but he hits and, oh, and there, what was it? You know, he, probably, see, old foul, dangerous plays that target vulnerable players. Well, don't put yourself in a vulnerable position then. I mean, what do you want this guy to do? It's like, okay, I'm going to skate around with my head down. Nobody should hit me though, because I'm vulnerable. Oh, that's like somebody, oh, that's predatory. That's a predatory hit. Well, fucking every hit's predatory. So, I mean, I love these vulnerable predatory. Oh, God. Like, oh, Stevens is a headhunter. Yeah, so what if he was? And? Then do it to him. Like, eh. Number four, Jamie Benn. When I asked around who the dirtiest player in the league was, the name that kept coming up was Jamie Benn. My favorite description of the Stars captain was, he's a player that managed to play sneaky, dirty, and outright dirty. I think the description is apt. He's known for slashes, cross checks to the back, and general heavy hitting game plan that would be at home in the 1980s. However, this is often considered perfectly legal by the NHL. He's only received a handful of fines and no suspensions throughout his career, even if his actions may have led to short and long term injuries, most notably a cross check to Dylan Larkin's neck that left the forward with a collarbone injury for 8 weeks. The 2020 playoffs, however, Benn gained national notoriety when he was very clearly cross-checked Mark Stone directly in the head after he fell to the ice. It was a blatant action that actually drew the ire of the league, leading to a two-game suspension, which is rare in the conference finals. All this helped push Benn up the list. He's been a player who's managed to skirt the limit of a legal play. While it's unlikely to receive another suspension in his career, don't be surprised for more controversy follows him for years. Okay, well, it's unlikely he will receive another suspension. Don't be surprised if more controversy follows him. Fuck this. Where are you going with this article? You're all over the place, whoever wrote this. Jamie Benn, I don't, like, yeah, well, here, his general heavy hitting game plan that would have been at home in the 80s. Well, I'm at home in the 80s, so maybe that's why I've never saw Jamie Benn as a dirty player. You know, I remember him in junior in Kelowna. I don't know. He's, you know, he'll fight now and again, and physical guy. I mean, again, I have no. This article is sort of all over the place. You're going to say, like, a guy's super dirty. Well, then shouldn't he have been suspended a bunch of times? This one is like, well, he's never been suspended, but, you know, well, then that's. Because, again, who's telling you, like, they just don't like the Dallas Stars, probably? It's a bunch of fanboys in there telling you, oh, he's really dirty, he's a goon. You know, like, I've never heard anybody ever say, I've never heard anybody online crying about Jamie Benn, to be honest. I'm all over social media, especially the hockey version of it, because I have to be with this show. And, I don't know, Jamie Benn's name's never, I've never seen it come up as dirty, but okay, whatever. Sam Bennett, hockey's a violent sport. Injuries are part of the sport, especially throughout long postseason series when teams play each other multiple times over the course of a handful of days. However, you start to notice the controversy follows a player. They can't help themselves in the middle of a bad hit. During the 23 Stanley Cup final run, the Panthers were picked up the moniker of a dirty team as a scrap unit. They clawed, punched, hit, and scored their way to the final. One player often found himself in the middle of these altercations, Sam Bennett, who quickly gained a reputation as a player who knew penalties aren't called the same way in the playoffs, so he could do whatever he wanted on the ice. Sure, he has received an occasional suspension or fine, but he has done little to deter his questionable play. Well, you look across his actions at the postseason hockey, his altercation with Matthew Nunes. Who are these people? Led the Maple Leafs rookie being concussed for having his head slammed to the ice. Simply doesn't belong in the NHL or any professional sport. However, as long as he's rewarded for his actions, they will continue and more players will see serious and avoidable injuries. I don't know. Okay, well, they had a little video link to the Matthew Nyes hit that this guy's complaining about, and holy shit. Yeah, well, that's typical of the guys that write these articles. If that's what we're crying about, if Sam Bennett fully embracing his villain role, holy shit, the Nyes tried to hold him up and he just got knocked down and a bunch of fucking nothing. Holy, this is what they're crying about? Oh, boy. Number two, Brad Marchand. Okay, though the rat was initially Ken Linsman. Brad Marchand's dirty styles earned him the moniker. He's so dirty that his own team's fan base often has trouble defending his actions at times. Undersized forward plays on the edge with borderline hits or an orthodox behavior, mouth that never stops yapping, a tongue that likes to lick on top, that is a frequent diver, which irks players as much as fans. Slew-footing, elbowing, spearing, and a little ball of hate, 5'9 forward, is so despicable on the ice, antics per pound. For any player in the history of the NHL, players admit you love them to have them on your team, but opposite if you play against them. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, Brad Marchand is a rat. The whole licking the face, he's a little prick. Solid player. I will say, there's chopping, whacking, pushing, glove, face wash, all that shit, whatever. The one play that always kind of gets me in hockey that's annoying is slew footing. That is, Subban used to pull that shit all the time, and Marchand does it a lot, too. I hate slew foots, because that's just so, like I said, it's one thing if you're going to whack each other with sticks or a little cross check slash. I'd rather have that than be slew footed, because you're just not in control anymore, right? And you're going down on the back of your head and possibly. And I mean, I know you got helmets and everything, but still, and especially if a guy's going to fall on you too. It's one thing, you slew foot him in the corner like a little trip. Yeah, it's still bullshit, but okay. But when you get the full slew foot and the guy kind of goes down with you, it's almost like the rush of the leg sweep in wrestling. That's, when you get weight coming down on you, Marchand's known for that bullshit. The thing that's, if you were the Bruins, that would really piss you off is he's such a good player that it's like, why do you, like, now I know that there's a part of a guy that, they need to play like that to be in the game and I get all that. But there are times when, there's got to be veteran guys that pull them, and I'm sure they have. I'm sure Char and them all did, like, tell them to tone it down. And it's like, we need you. Don't do stupid shit and whatever. So, but yeah, he definitely belongs in the list. Number one, Tom Wilson. There are two options for your opinion on Tom Wilson. You either hate him or you either hate him and see him as a sign that the NHL really doesn't care about player safety, or you're a Capitals fan. Throughout the years, he's a broken jaw, sidelined opponent with concussions while earning multiple suspensions. Polarizing repeat offender, has built a career with controversial style play that targeted opponents' heads, delivered late hits. He always seems to put himself in a worthy situation. While he's been able to keep his name out of the headlines briefly, Wilson fell back to his old playing habits in 2021. First, he was suspended 5 games for boarding Brandon Carlo, fifth suspension of his career. Then he had the moment where he briefly broke the NHL when he got into a scrum with Panarin that left the Rangers star injured in a play that looked dirtier and dirtier the more you saw it. No, not really. To put it simply, there's a gap between the NHL says what they allow on the ice and what's actually allowed. The player like Wilson in the league, he finds a way to live in the gap, somehow skirting, but while putting players' health in danger. Oh, the fucking whining about Tom Wilson. The whole Panarin thing is like, don't jump on a guy in the middle of a scrum. You get what you get. I mean, I didn't feel sorry for fucking Panarin. He's lucky Wilson didn't kick the shit out of him. Again, with Wilson, it's like, yeah, I've probably done some borderline things. I don't view him as being that dirty. I mean, I guess the biggest, I can't remember what it was when he was coming back in the back check. When you back check, you always go to the middle. And he went to the middle. It was the Blues player, I believe. And he went to the middle, too. I'm indifferent to Tom. I don't care, really. As a 70s, 80s baby, I don't see Tom Wilson being all that dirty. I guess he's dirty in today's fans' minds. So I guess, like I always say, my mind's stuck in the 80s. So I just view Wilson as I sort of just shrug and just kind of whatever. This guy writing this article, he's all over the place. He's a whiner. Especially after looking at some of the videos that he was crying, like incidents that he was crying about. Like, all right, that's what we're getting worked up about and getting guys on the dirty list. He's never been suspended, but he's on the dirty list. Okay, well, if he's never been suspended, I don't know if I'd call him dirty then. I guess in saying that, though, there are people that will be like, wow, player safety and everything and their lack of suspensions. There might be something to that, too. I don't know. I just wanted to throw, I know every once in a while we'll throw some current stuff at you. Problem with, again, doing current stuff that I'm now realizing as I'm doing this, I'm not very well versed in it, so I really can't give you too much of an opinion on it, which probably didn't lead to much point in doing that list. But, someone had asked me what, like, throughout the years with the message boards and everything, who are the more hated guys? And it brought up, of course, lately, you know, because Reeves fought Delorier tonight. And it's always funny whenever Reeves fights. Oh, yeah. All the haters have to come out online. And regardless, Reeves took the L. He took the L. He's such a poser. He's never been good. He's terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. He just swings. He can't punch and all the... Oh, whatever. They got into it. They were swinging. Delorier lost his grip and then couldn't get it back. And then when he went to reach, he apparently poked Reeves in the eye. And, Reeves kind of obviously ducked away because he can't see if someone pokes in the eye. It would have been a yellow card in Stampede Wrestling. I don't think... Somebody said Reeves hasn't come back to play or he's on the end of the bench or something. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't an intentional poke. He was trying to grab again. But, unfortunately, those things happen when you're flailing away. They got spinning and, like I said, Delorier lost his grip. So Reeves is wildly swinging. And, I guess you read the comments and there's lots of keyboard proberts in there that I always love the one. Reeves has always been a joke. Okay, sure. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. He's never been any good. Oh, okay, sure. It's just like, whatever. Like I said, you don't have to like Ryan Reeves. That's fine if you don't like him. But why do you got to say stupid shit? Really? Like, okay, Reeves doesn't suck. You know, he doesn't. For the most part, if you watch his fights, he stays in the pocket and tries to throw punches. He's not wearing a visor. So he's already at a disadvantage, but he'll stand in there like, yeah. So I don't get it, whatever, but it's like, it's just funny. It's just like, it's just the fanboys just got to come out and it's just, I would just laugh. It doesn't like, yeah. So anyway, it reminds me of the old message board days and it's like, and then somebody was like, well, who were the most hated guys back in the old message board days? I would say Domi was probably one of them for sure. Kind of with his antics and everything else. But But he kind of, you know, he'd get the spin cycle going, everything else, and guys would shit on him for that. It's like, well, fuck, the dude's 5'8". Like, what do you want? Fighting guys 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". I mean, what do you want him to do? He just, like, stand and go toe-to-toe? Like, you know, and it wouldn't be like he's a wrestler. I wouldn't, Domi certainly wasn't a wrestler or anything. But that, I always say with guys, style, you know, everybody has a style. Styles make fights. I didn't like Domi when he first came up with the Rangers. He annoyed me because I was just like, who is this guy? But he grew on me once he got to Winnipeg and then in Toronto. I became a big Domi fan. I mean, all-time fight leader, fight card second to none. Like I said, dude, 5'8", 200 pounds and fought everybody. I mean, fuck, how can you knock the fucking guy? It's like, really? Like, all right. Another guy. Rob Ray. To this day, Rob Ray still gets shit, but it was always with the jersey coming off. Yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. At the same time, like I always say, you know, wasn't against the rules. You know, lots of guys' jerseys come off. Well, yeah, but he was naked underneath. Well, I get he just took it to the extreme, but again, it's about winning fights. You know, that was his job as an enforcer. He did his job well. He fought everybody. And not a big guy. Again, 6 feet, 200 pounds. Definitely got better as the years went on. Once the tie-down rule came in, he actually got better, in my opinion. Although, granted, at the same time, he was entering his prime at that time. So, great punching power, ton of knockouts, TKOs, would swing wide open. I dig Rob Ray again. Fought everybody, he was always entertaining, always willing, you know, and again, he had to do what he had to do to stay in the league and win fights, and that's the name of the game. When you're an enforcer, it's, are you winning fights? Did he win fight? Yeah, he did, you know, not at first he didn't, but, you know, as his career went on, you know, yeah, he did, and in dramatic fashion, and was entertaining, and the people of Buffalo loved him, and hey, I dig me some Rob Ray. It's funny, like everybody on that I'm thinking of on the hated list, you know, Scott Parker, there's another guy. I think he came up with so much fanfare that it's just like people were just dying to hate on him. And, you know, a lot of the hype, no one could live up to the hype. And he was one, I've always said with Parker, he was one of the rare guys back, I mean, now there's video for everything, but back then, he was one of the few guys that basically all his fights from junior to the minors to the NHL were all available. And that never, like, there isn't Rocky like that, or Ty Domi isn't like, you don't see all his Peter, like some of his Peterborough stuff's out there, but you know what I'm saying. Rob Ray or any guy that I just listed, you can't go watch all their OHL fights, all their American League fights, and then all their NHL fights. This doesn't work that way. They're scattered. Whereas Parker, you know, there was a big fight fan in Kelowna, so we got all his junior stuff, and then Parker himself got the junior, got his AHL footage for guys, and you know, so we were able to see Parker coming up and his stuff in junior. He was a man amongst boys. He was unbelievable in the American League with Hershey, same thing, pounding guys, and it's like, son of a bitch, you know. And then they're really pumping him up on the message boards, and you know, some guys were overbearing with it and everything. It's like, okay, whatever. And I think lots of people at that point were just like, hoping that, like, just openly hoping to hate on the guy. And then when Probert got him, it was, oh, I'll see, he's not that good. Like, again, like I always say, like, because losing to Probert's just the worst thing. Parker had a great career, fight-wise, won more than he lost, had some big knockouts. Again, he's never going to live up to the hype that people put him up to, but it's like, you know, other than Probert, it's like, did Scott Parker ever get the shit kicked out of him? No, not really. So it's like one of like his first NHL fight was against a prime twist, and he did great. And it's, you know, and he had a real, he was solid, man. Other than the Probert fight, I mean, you know, he had knockouts of Ryan Flynn and Grimson and Brad Brown and Oliwa. And it's just like, what more do you want from this guy, right? Chara had great fights with Brashear and stuff. It's just like, all right, you know. So I don't know what the hate for Scott Parker is. And I know now that life after hockey, he's doing great things with veterans and stuff. He's a good dude. And, you know, hey, all the best to Scott Parker, man. I was down. I love me some Scott Parker. He is great, man. I never got the hate. I never understood it. Because some bozo on the message board that you didn't like pumped him up. Like, there's a bozo on the message board for years is going on about Dave Manson. I like Dave Manson. The guy who talks about him all the time on the message board's a goof, but, I mean, that's not going to sway his opinion on Manson's not going to sway mine. Like, some goof on the internet's going to, oh, these guys all like him, so I'm not going to. Oh, okay, that's a very mature stance. You know, like, fuck, make your own decisions. I think Semenko took a lot of shit. I've always said on here with Semenko, I think the problem is a lot of Semenko's really good fights just aren't on video. And I think a lot of the video that we see from Semenko is sort of in his waning years. Semenko's career, I think it was pretty much like late 70s, early 80s. You know, that's a real young, primed up warpath Semenko. And some of those fights are out there here and there. But then you get later into the mid 80s with the Oilers and the Battle of Alberta and stuff, you know, and Hunter's kind of taking it to him and a lot of cheap shots and stuff. I mean, I think that's the videos everybody sees of Semenko, and it's sort of like, you know, yeah, this guy really wasn't much. And it's like, yeah, I think unfortunately missed a lot of his good stuff. But, yeah, for the older guys, Semenko, Dave Schultz, I think the Flyers in general, like if you're not a Flyer guy, it's like, I think the old Islander boy, the Bruins guys, they always hate the Flyer. Oh, they're gang fighting. They were never that tough. Schultz was a punching bag. I don't know. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say Schultz is a punching bag. I mean, again, did I see everyone? Of course not. But I don't know. Schultz has always looked all right when I watched him. I mean, you know, he didn't win every fight or anything. But I wouldn't go as far as to say he was a, like you see people, oh, he's a phony. I wouldn't go that far. You know, but it's like, yeah, the Broad Street Bullies. And so I could see back then being a Bruins fan, hating on the Flyers and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, all right. But Twist, there's another guy really polarizing at the time, because right when the message boards came around, he was sort of like the guy, right? Twist was sort of, you know, right before his motorcycle accident. It was, you know, everyone was steroids, the only reason he's good. Yeah, no, he was kind of always been good. But I don't think, if you watch Twist, I don't think his fights were that exciting, because it was like, it's kind of like riding a bull, right? Like just wild, crazy swings and hold on for 8 seconds. And but I think the mark of a truly great fighter is he makes other guys fight differently than they normally would. And he did. And just because he was so strong and so wild. And if he hits you, you're going to sleep. And guys just fought him different because he had to. And yeah, Twist takes a lot of shit. I mean, easily the most hated guy was Brashear. I mean, that's without a doubt. And I've said to this day, I've never been a Brashear fan, but I've always given him his due. He's one of the best to ever do it. Did it for a long time. His prime was unbelievable. Him and LaRock were 1A, 1B for a long time. And longevity, fight card. I mean, you go on. Oh, shit, the guy's still playing in the LNAH. And I will say he's grown on me a little bit over the years. During his playing days, I was never a fan. Again, one of those things, this whole Huggy Bear, he never opened up. And, I mean, you can play these guys. There's videos of him dropping guys and going toe-to-toe, and guys still don't care. Oh, yeah? And then they show you some video from when he played in Montreal when he was a rookie. It's like, okay, well, you know, I guess so, if we're going to go by that. But then we're going to judge a guy's whole career by his first year in the league. Sure. No, in his prime, guys couldn't touch him, man. And he was unbelievable. He really was. And again, I'm not a fan, but he was awesome. But yeah, he's definitely back in the old message board days. And even to this day, although I think a lot of guys have kind of turned, kind of seen the light now, and they'll begrudgingly kind of, all right, you know. But there are other guys that'll forever, and they're just idiots and whatever. Then it's the same thing with these guys. They're like trained SEALs. It's like, that's all they know. And if you ask them about it, they'll highlight the same three fights or four incidents, and then, you know, never mind the 260 other fights that he had. I'm going to just focus on these two, and I'm going to maintain the Huggy Bear thing. Okay, sure. Those are some names that definitely come to mind back in the old message board days, for sure. And now on these fight boards and stuff, it's like this next generation. I think it's cool to hate on Probert and shit now. Like, how the fuck you can hate on Bob Probert's beyond me, but these guys, if the jersey never came off, he wouldn't have won half as, okay. Like, just, again, it wasn't against, well, I know it's not against the rules. I'm just saying, well, it's not about just saying. It wasn't against the rules, so stop bringing it up. Nothing stopped, he had the advantage. Well, no, the way you're wording it makes it sound like he was the only one that could do it. Like, Bob's allowed to take his jersey off, but you're not. Like, you could take yours off. It's no secret what was going to happen. Everyone in the league knew how he fought and what his tendencies were. So you could take your jersey off, too, if you want, and not tie down. I mean, again, you keep using the word advantage like he was the only one that was allowed to do it. So, no, it's like, and again, it's about winning fights and enforcing and beating the fuck out of somebody. That's the point. And it's, I don't give it, if somebody said, yeah, if you to win the fight, you got to come out of your jersey. Well, goddamn, I'm coming out of my jersey then. Like, yeah, it was about winning the fight. It wasn't for 25 years later for some, you know, an internet bozo, couch jockey to sit there and try to sully your reputation by, you know, oh, he wasn't really that good. I went back and looked at the videos. If he hadn't come out of his jersey, he'd a 500 fighter at best. Oh, okay. You know, kid's like, and you look at his profile, he's like 19. Yeah, all right. You know, Probert was out of the league before you were even born. But because you watch about 18 videos on YouTube, now all of a sudden you're a fucking authority on Bob Probert. Yeah, all right. You know, yeah. Oh, he couldn't play today. Oh, okay. Yeah, because everything's equal now. Yeah, sure. Oh, anyway, it's almost 10 o'clock and I went on Tuesday here, so I'm going to get going. Time to shower. 5 a.m. comes quickly, but yeah, folks, there we go. Yeah, like I said at the start of the show, it was an unfortunate day today with the passing of Chris Simon. I know... there are some ex-players and friends of his that listen to the show. My thoughts go out with you guys, to you guys. And, as I said earlier, rest in peace, Chris Simon. Sad stuff. And, yeah, so, yeah, folks, it's one of those things. If always ask for help. There's always people willing to help and, seek it if you can, for sure. And, yeah, rest in peace, Chris Simon. All right, guys, have a good rest of the work week, and we'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?